Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stock futures surge as we begin this holiday shortened trading week.
We speak exclusively with Elon Musk about Twitter, Tesla, and politics.
More calls this morning for a U.S. recession.
And Wall Street braces for congressional testimony this week from Fed Chair Jay Powell.
New York passes landmark voting rights legislation, plus it's day four of January 6th hearings. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Another near no-hitter for the Yankees. They got their 50th win. Shutout win for the Mets. Tampa Bay beat Colorado in the Stanley Cup Final.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 72 points, Dow futures up 528, and NASDAQ futures up 240, and the 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 3.26%. The yield on the two-year, 3.20%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with an exclusive interview with Elon Musk at the Qatar Economic Forum. The Tesla CEO sat down for a wide-ranging conversation with Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite. They discussed everything from the economy to politics and, of course, Elon Musk's proposed acquisition of Twitter.
There are still a few unresolved matters. You've probably read about the question as to whether the number of fake and spam users on the system is less than 5% as Twitter claims, which I think is probably not most people's experience on when using Twitter. So we're still awaiting resolution on that matter, and that is a very significant matter. We're awaiting resolution on that. And then, of course, there is the question of will the debt portion of the round come together, and then will the shareholders vote in favor?
Elon Musk speaking with Bloomberg from the Qatar Economic Forum in Doha. The Tesla CEO also spoke about politics, cryptocurrencies, and the future of Tesla. Stay tuned for more of that exclusive interview coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, Nathan, futures are higher as we begin a shortened holiday trading week. The rally comes after nearly $2 trillion in market value was erased from the S&P 500 last week. There could be more losses ahead, according to Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. Morgan Stanley's Michael Wilson says stocks need to drop another 15 to 20% for the market to fully reflect the scale of economic contraction.
Well, perhaps the biggest event for markets this week, Karen, will be congressional testimony from Jay Powell. The Fed chair delivers the central bank's semiannual report on monetary policy tomorrow. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Powell tells Congress the Fed's commitment to battling the worst inflation in 40 years is unconditional, just days after launching the largest Fed interest rate increase in 28 years. An advanced text of the Fed's report to lawmakers says it's committed to doing what's needed to get the job done and that price stability is necessary to support a strong U.S. labor market. Powell will testify to the Senate Banking Committee on Wednesday and the House Financial Services Committee on Thursday. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. There are more calls on an impending recession this morning. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Elon Musk, Norio Robini, and Goldman Sachs are now warning that the U.S. economy could fall into a recession. While Musk predicts it happening sometime in the near future, Goldman Sachs now sees a 30% chance of a recession over the next year. That's up from 15% previously, and a 25% chance of entering a recession in the second year if one is avoided in the first. Robini sees a U.S. recession by the end of this year.
We're not yet in a recession, but we're getting very close to it. My baseline is one of a hard landing.
Robini Macro Associate CEO Norio Robini says the economy is experiencing a number of negative aggregate supply shocks. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thank you. Well, President Biden's pushing back on those calls for recession.
I was talking to Larry Summers this morning, and There's nothing inevitable about a recession.
President Biden spoke with reporters in Delaware yesterday. He was referring to former Treasury Secretary and current Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers.
Meantime, President Biden says he is aiming to decide this week whether to suspend the federal gasoline tax. And Bloomberg said Baxter has the story.
The president is being careful at this point, saying he is looking for more data, but sounds confident.
Well, I hope I have a decision based on that I'm looking for by the end of the week.
He and his administration are trying to find ways to ease the soaring prices at the pump, and his Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also sounds like she likes the idea.
I think, while not perfect, it is something that should be under consideration.
So consideration it is, and we should have an answer by the end of the week. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And Secretary Yellen says another way to lower gas prices could involve Russian oil exports.
We are talking about price caps or a price exception that would enhance and strengthen recent and proposed energy restrictions by Europe, the United States, the UK, and others that would push down the price of Russian oil and depress Putin's revenues while allowing more oil supply to reach the global market.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen made those comments during a press conference in Toronto alongside Canadian Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland.
The CEO of ExxonMobil says global oil markets may remain tight for another 3 to 5 years, largely because of a lack of investment since the pandemic began. Darren Woods says it'll take time for oil firms to catch up to ensure there's enough supply.
Thoughtful conversations about investments across that whole portfolio of solution sets needed to provide affordable and reliable energy while reducing emissions is the path forward.
ExxonMobil CEO Darren Woods made the comments at the Qatar Economic Forum in Doha.
And on the M&A front this morning, Karen, the battle over Spirit Airlines is taking off. JetBlue is raising its offer to buy the bargain carrier, valuing Spirit at about $3.7 billion. That follows Spirit's decision to delay a shareholder vote on its pending deal with Frontier Airlines. That vote is set for June 30th.
And futures are higher. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Hey, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 65 degrees in Central Park. Picking up some overnight construction on the northbound New Jersey Turnpike. It's in the truck lanes near exit 6. We'll get the details and traffic in just a few minutes. First, we got to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's governor signed a law intended to prevent local officials from enacting rules that might suppress people's voting rights because of their race. The John R. Lewis Voting Rights Act is named after the late civil rights activists who represented Georgia in the U.S. House. Governor Kathy Hochul.
Across the country, we're seeing stricter voter ID laws, shorter early voting periods, and more burdens when you're trying to just vote by mail. We're seeing people purged on voter rolls.
Governor Hochul says we're going to change our election laws so we no longer hurt minority communities. The House January 6th committee is set to hear from local officials who fended off Donald Trump's pressure to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Representative Adam Schiff is set to lead today's hearing. He told CNN that Trump campaign's plans unsuccessfully depended on hopes that state legislators would approve the big lie when they didn't. Trump turned to pressuring state officials.
We'll show evidence of the president's involvement in this scheme.
Representative Schiff and the panel today will hear testimony from Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger about Trump's call asking him to find over 11,000 votes to prevent Joe Biden's election victory. That testimony is expected to include death threats they received. Alabama's Republican primary is today. Congressman Mo Brooks lost the former president's endorsement in part for saying that it was time to move on from the 2020 election. Trump then chose to back Katie Britt. Other states conducting elections today are Virginia and Georgia. An out-of-control New York City cab on a Manhattan street struck a bicyclist and pinned two other Ohio tourists to a wall on a sidewalk. It happened yesterday at 29th Street and Broadway. Good Samaritans rushed to the scene to free them and treat their injuries, including two women pinned against the building by the taxi. Deputy Police Chief John Chell.
About 15 to 20 New Yorkers attempted to pick this cab off these women. Okay? In total, we have 6 victims at the hospital, including the cab driver.
Deputy Police Chief Chell. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. Yankees up to 50 wins on the year, and four of them, a Yankee starter has flirted with a no-hitter, once with Nestor Cortez, also Jameson Taillon, now twice with Garrett Cole on the mound. He lost the no-hitter with a clean single up the middle, leading off the Tampa Bay eighth inning. Clay Holmes came in, having not allowed a run since opening day. The Rays got to him. Two hits and a walk. They scored twice in the eighth to tie the game. Yanks then scored twice in the ninth. Aaron Hicks, the big hit, a triple, and Aaron Boone's team won 4-2.
They put a couple balls in play on us. We're able to tie the game, and it's right back to let's go find a way to get this thing done. And you know, we talk about you keep playing. You know, there's things that happen over the course of a game, over the course of a season that are, you know, sometimes out of your control. You got to just keep playing.
The Rays are slumping. They've lost 6-7. The Red Sox have moved ahead of them into third in the AL East. Matinee at Citi Field. Easy win for the Mets. 6-0 over the Marlins. Three hits for Brandon Nimmo. Three RBIs for Eduardo Escobar. David Peterson got the win in the Mets. Win another series. They have played 21 series. They've only lost three of them. Atlanta won to remain 5.5 games behind the Mets. Home ice has meant a lot throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. That was true for the Rangers. And now in the Cup final, the home team's 3-0. Colorado won in overtime, then 7-0. But Tampa Bay won last night 6-2. And the Lightning have won 8 in a row at home. Game 4 is tomorrow. The Athletic reports Kyrie Irving likely to turn down his $37 million option with the Nets, become a free agent, and that the Knicks could be interested. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Futures surging as we start a holiday shortened trading week. Right now, S&P futures are up 71 points. Dow futures up 515. NASDAQ futures are higher by 238 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 10/32. Yield, 3.26%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds, chance for afternoon showers today with a high near 80 degrees. Showers and storms possible tomorrow, low 70s. Can't rule out the shower risk on Thursday either. Right now, 65 and clear in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Informatica on the cloud. Your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com. S&P futures on the rise this morning, up 70 points. Dow futures up 501 and NASDAQ futures up 234. 10-year Treasury down 9/32. Yield 3.26%. Yield on the 2-year 3.19%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Aides to the January 6th committee say today's public hearing will focus on efforts by former President Trump and his allies to pressure state-level officials to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. President Joe Biden said he is aiming to decide this week whether to move to suspend the federal gas tax in a bid to ease the impact of soaring prices at the pump. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. Other winners include the Red Sox. The Giants lost. In the NHL Stanley Cup final, the Lightning won Game 3 over the Avalanche 6-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's almost 5:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And this morning, we bring you a special interview with Elon Musk. The Tesla CEO talked about the unresolved matters in his pursuit of Twitter and why he thinks a recession in the United States is likely. Elon Musk spoke with Bloomberg's editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite from the Qatar Economic Forum in Doha, powered by Bloomberg.
Let's begin with Twitter. And I suppose my question for you is, what is the status of the $44 billion deal to buy the company? If you look at the deal spreads at the moment, the investors seem to be betting that it won't happen, I suppose. And right here you have the Qataris, who are amongst your backers. What are you going to say to them and to us?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say Your Highness, Your Excellencies, and distinguished guests, thank you very much for hosting me virtually. It's an honor to be here, or be there virtually. I actually wish I could be there in person. So with respect to the Twitter transaction, there's a limit to what I can say publicly, given that it is somewhat of a sensitive matter. I will have to be measured in my responses here, such as not to generate incremental lawsuits.
That seems to be a risk you sometimes manage to overcome.
Yes, deposition minimization is, I think, important.
Have Twitter given you enough information?
There are still a few unresolved matters. You've probably read about the question as to whether the number of fake and spam users on the system is less than 5%, as Twitter claims, which I think is probably not most people's experience when using Twitter. So we're still awaiting resolution on that matter, and that is a very significant matter. We're awaiting resolution on that. And then, of course, there is the question of will the debt portion of the round come together, and then will the shareholders vote in favor? So I think those are the three things that stand in the that need to be resolved before the transaction can complete.
What about the general state of the economy? Does that weigh on you when you think about this? I mean, you just described it. You have a super bad feeling about the economy. Are you still in that position? I just said to you earlier, Joe Biden has just come out and said that a recession in America is not inevitable. How do you feel about the economy?
I think a recession is inevitable at some point. As to whether there is a recession in the near term, I think that is more likely than not. It certainly isn't it's not a certainty, but it appears more likely than not. And what do you think?
I'm with you. I agree with you. I think it's more likely. Can I ask you one particular thing to do with the Twitter bid, which is, you know, you are one of the biggest and fastest growing investors in China. Tesla, you've talked about it being a third of your sales going forward. You're now buying Twitter, the kind of public forum for free speech. The Chinese historically don't tend to be very enthusiastic about free speech. Are you worried about whether you can keep those two particular horses running? Is buying Twitter going to get you in trouble with the Chinese?
Twitter does not operate in China.
Yes.
And I think China does not attempt to interfere with the free speech of the press in the U.S. As far as I know, because I assume you're not under pressure at Bloomberg from China. So I think there's I don't think this is going to be an issue.
And in terms generally of that issue of freedom of speech and Twitter, you've talked about Twitter making it even freer and letting more people onto it. Is there a limit at all to who you think should be allowed onto Twitter?
My aspiration for Twitter, or in general for the digital town square, would be that it is as inclusive, in the broader sense of the word, as possible, that it is an appealing system to use. Ideally, I'd like to get like 80% of, let's say, North America and perhaps, I don't know, half the world or something, ultimately, on Twitter in one form or another. And that means it must be something that is appealing to people. It obviously cannot be a place where they feel uncomfortable or harassed, or they'll simply not use it. I think there's a big difference between freedom of speech and freedom of reach, in that one can obviously, let's say in the United States, go in the middle of Times Square and pretty much yell anything you want, and you'll annoy the people around you, but you're kind of allowed to just sort of yell whatever you want in a crowded public place, more or less. apart from this is a robbery, probably that would get you in trouble. So But then that whatever you say, however controversial, does not need to then be broadcast to the whole country. So I think generally the approach of Twitter should be to let people say what they want to do within the bounds of the law, but then limit the, you know, who sees that based on the any given Twitter user's preferences. So if your preferences are...
To date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures surging this morning. Last week, $2 trillion in market value erased from the S&P 500. This week, markets react to congressional testimony from Fed Chair Jay Powell, who delivers the central bank's semi-annual report on monetary policy tomorrow.
Well, ahead of that, Karen, calls for a pending recession in the U.S. are growing louder. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Elon Musk and Goldman Sachs are the latest to warn that the U.S. economy could fall into a recession, while Musk predicts it happening sometime in the near future. Goldman Sachs now sees a 30% chance of entering a recession over the next year. That's up from 15% previously. Robini Macro Associate CEO Nouriel Roubini expects a U.S. recession by the end of this year and says the economy is experiencing a number of negative aggregate supply shocks. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, over the weekend in Delaware, President Biden pushed back on those recession calls. He said a contraction is not inevitable following a conversation with former Treasury Secretary and current Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers.
I think overall the picture is still a very stretched economy.
And Summers made the remarks on Bloomberg's Wall Street Week with David Westin. Catch the program every weekend on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, as prices rise at the gas pump, Karen, President Biden's deciding whether to suspend the federal gasoline tax.
Well, I hope I have a decision based on that I'm looking for by the end of the week.
Yeah, President Biden says he is looking for more data ahead of the decision, which he expects will come later on this week. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she also supports the idea.
Meantime, Nathan, ExxonMobil says global oil markets may remain tight for another 3 to 5 years. CEO Darren Woods made the comments at the Qatar Economic Forum, saying it's largely due to a lack of investment since the pandemic began.
And we have some M&A news to pass along this morning, Karen. JetBlue is raising its offer to buy bargain carrier Spirit Airlines. The new bid values the company at about $3.7 billion.
Well, we take a look at futures this morning as they are jumping. S&P futures up 70 points, Dow futures up 508, and NASDAQ futures up 228. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 3.26%, and the yield on the 2-year at 3.20%. NYMEX crude oil is higher, up 2.1%, up $2.29 at $111.85 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed at $1,839.40 an ounce. The euro this morning, 1.0574 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2313. The yen, 135.32. Bitcoin at $21,211. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 533 on Wall Street, 65 degrees in Central Park. Got an overturned tractor trailer in Upper Saddle River. We'll get to the details shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a state law protecting voting rights. At a signing ceremony in Brooklyn, Governor Hochul said New York is preserving voting rights while they are under attack around the country.
The shocking revelation that there are people out there who are so firm in their belief that Donald Trump should remain their president, fostered by him, that they literally attacked our Capitol.
Governor Hochul says the John Lewis Voting Rights of New York is named after federal legislation that passed the House last year but has not yet passed the Senate. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection convenes again later today for its fourth public hearing. This time, the hearing is from mostly Republican officials on how former President Trump and his allies tried to convince them to break the law and turn the Trump election losses into wins. New York City police are still investigating what caused a yellow cab to jump a curb in Midtown Manhattan and injured six people. Police say the cab struck a cyclist on Broadway, then veered off the road, jumped the sidewalk, and struck two women on the sidewalk, pinning them against the wall of a building. Up to 20 passers-by immediately jumped into action, trying to lift the cab off the two women who were pinned against the wall. New York Mayor Eric Adams.
They clearly responded to help those who were injured. They didn't know if they were tourists or not. They just responded in a normal way that New Yorkers do.
Mayor Adams says two of the injured were tourists from Columbus, Ohio. Two more were visiting from Mexico. All of those injured are expected to recover. Anguish and questions last night during the first school board meeting after the horrific massacre inside the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Several investigations are underway trying to find out why the school system's police chief waited for over an hour to storm the classroom and end the shooting rampage. At the school board meeting, this man asked for the chief, Pete Arredondo, to be fired.
Send them on this duty, call it whatever you want to call it. Suspend them pending termination. It's an insult to injury.
19 children and two teachers died. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. Yankees thought they had win number 50 Sunday in Toronto. Blue Jays suddenly scored seven runs over the seventh and eighth innings and won 10-9. An eighth inning struggle again at Tampa Bay. The Rays didn't have a hit off Garrett Cole through the first seven. They broke up the no-hitter, and then they got to Clay Holmes, who had not allowed a run since opening day. They scored twice. The game was tied in the ninth inning.
Then the runner goes, swung on and hit in the air to right, deep. Margot back against the wall. That ball is off the wall, and Margot is down. The center fielder has to go retrieve the ball. Donaldson will score. Hicks will stop at third. And the Yankees take a 3-2 lead on a triple by Aaron Hicks.
And WFAN, Yanks won 4-2, so they've won 10 of 11, 17 of the last 19. Mets won a day game with the Marlins, 6-0. David Peterson got the win as the Mets improved to 24-10 at Citi Field. They have called up Don Smith back from the minors. They'll find out today about Jeff McNeil's hamstring injury. He's headed for an MRI. McNeil is batting .327. Stanley Cup final at Tampa Bay. The Lightning bounced back from that 7-0 loss in game two. They scored four times second period, beat Colorado 6-2. Six different goal scores. The Avs now lead the series 2-1. A report in The Athletic that there is an impasse between the Nets and Kyrie Irving. The writing on the wall with comments by Nets GM Sean Marks said he wants players who are selfless and available. That's not Kyrie, who thinks he and Kevin Durant should have a managerial role with the team. If Irving rejects his $37 million option, he becomes a free agent. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Narrowing down the search for a place to live in New Jersey's biggest city just got a little easier thanks to Newark's new search engine. It's for potential buyers, renters, or short-term renters. Searches can be filtered by price, region, locality to public transportation, or other criteria. Connecticut officials say the state will end its fiscal year June 30th with an additional $86 million budget surplus. That's more than had been projected just a month ago. The money means the state can make a $3.7 billion payment to reduce unfunded liabilities, according to the governor's budget director. H&M is hosting a pop-up hotel. The retailer is unveiling the Hotel Henny's NYC in Manhattan's Lower East Side. For 3 days beginning Thursday, guests will be able to access the space via Freeman's Alley. It'll be open at 3 Freeman Alley on Thursday through Saturday, 2 to 9 p.m. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk. On 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about JetBlue once again raising its offer to purchase Spirit Airlines.
Bernie Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Oreo cookie maker Mondelez is buying Clif Energy Bars.
I'm Caroline Hepburn on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We've been reporting on the biggest rail strike in more than 30 years as some 40,000 staff walk out on the job in a dispute over pay.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting a new survey says kids fall asleep faster in electric vehicles than gasoline-powered cars.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Over the long weekend, Americans observed their newest federal holiday, Juneteenth, also known as Emancipation Day. The name blends June and 19th, the date in 1865 when Union soldiers arrived in Texas and declared that those in bondage were now free. Juneteenth is a celebration of America's early efforts to right a tragic wrong. But it also challenges the nation to confront the unfinished business arising from its original sin. In effect, the holiday asks Americans to reconcile their national aspirations with the reality of persistent inequities. That's an effort that should last year-round. So as the first federally recognized Juneteenth recedes into memory, Americans should recognize that the work of racial justice remains unfinished and keep pushing to make the country a more perfect union. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Chance for afternoon showers today with a high near 80 degrees. Right now, 65 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by Informatica. On the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com. Stocks are climbing in Europe and Asia. U.S. stock index futures pointing higher and treasuries retreating. This amid improved investor sentiment compared with last week's rout in global shares. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 70 points. Points this morning, Dow futures up 513, NASDAQ futures up 226, the DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.25%, the yield on the 2-year 3.19%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.1%, up $2.29 at $111.85 a barrel. COMEX gold has little change at $1,840.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0574 against the dollar. British pound 1.2308. And the yen's at 135.30. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, it's higher, up almost 4% at $21,190. Today we are watching for a report on existing home sales at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Today's January 6th committee hearing on Capitol Hill will focus on what panel members say was former President Trump's unprecedented push to get states to reject the 2020 election results. Meanwhile, on Fox News, former Vice President Pence called January 6th the tragic day while blasting Democrats for the hearings. Ukraine's leader has told the African Union that the continent has been taken hostage in Russia's invasion of Ukraine. President Volodymyr Zelensky says it comes amid catastrophically rising food prices. In baseball, the Yankees, Mets, and Red Sox won. The Giants lost. NHL Stanley Cup Final. The Lightning won Game 3 over the Avalanche. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we get ready to jump into a holiday-shortened trading week, let's get the perspective this morning from Dennis Gardman, former publisher of the Gardman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Dennis, good morning. As Karen mentioned, we are seeing a nice surge in risk assets this morning. At the same time, we're hearing from a growing number of analysts, including now Morgan Stanley, saying this market hasn't fully priced in the risk of recession. How do you view the market right now?
I tend to be with the people who think that the market has not fully priced in the possibilities of recession. I think recession is a very likely circumstance later this year. But markets get oversold, they get overbought, they get oversold. We had probably too many people on one side of the market. A competitor of yours, CNN, has a great fear and greed index, which I watch. And anytime it gets below 20, it's in fearful territory, which you usually get a contrarian bounce. And last night I was on Bloomberg Asia, and I said we could go up 1,000 points from the low last week and still be within the confines of a bear market. So I can think that the bear market continues. I see no reason to think that that has changed. The fact that the Fed will be taking $65 billion worth of Treasury securities out of circulation, reducing the size of his balance sheet over the course of the next several years, I think is the instructive circumstance to pay attention to. So bounces are to be sold into, weaknesses not to be bought. I'm not changing my opinion even slightly, other than the fact that a little oversold and a little too many, far too many people on one side of the boat, a little too bearish. What do we have? 10 of the last 11 weeks or lower, we're going to get a bounce, and that's all we're going to get.
So what has you thinking that the balance sheet is worth paying closer attention to than the possibility of more aggressive rate hikes? We've got the bond market pricing in potentially a number of 75 basis point moves, but why is the balance sheet more important to look at?
The balance sheet is exactly what the Fed does. It is by purchasing Treasury securities, it injects reserves directly into the system. It's, as I've always said, and as most economists will agree, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon, and the fact that the monetary phenomenon for the past decade has been an aggressive addition to the Fed's balance sheet, aggressive addition of reserves into the banking system. We took the balance sheet from $900 billion, which was already relatively high, to $9 trillion, which was breathtakingly high, and the Fed has to take that money out of the system slowly over time, allowing those Treasury securities to mature off. I hope the Fed does not come into the market and actually sell Treasury securities. I think they'll just let them mature off just let them mature off, I guess is the best way to say it. And I pay more attention to the balance sheet than I do to the fact that the Fed shall be raising the overnight Fed funds rate. Let us hope that the Fed does not take the overnight Fed funds rate to a level that gives us an inversion in the yield curve across the entire term structure. I hope that that does not occur. If that does, then a recession of some will be almost mandatory. But I pay attention to the balance sheet probably more than other people do, and I think that's the proper place to have my attention focused for the next several years, to be quite honest.
So do you take the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell at his word that he's determined to get to that 2% inflation target? And if he does, what's the impact on markets?
You have to take the Fed Chairman at his word. Whether he follows or not is another story entirely. But He has to say that. He has no choice. He has to maintain that their intention is to get the inflation rate back 2%. Whether they can do that or not over the course of the next several years is another story entirely. I have my doubts completely. I think inflation will be with us for some period of time. So time shall tell. But right now you have to expect to see the Fed chairman follow through on his intentions. Whether they can actually accomplish that task, that's another story.
Speaking with Dennis Gartman, the former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Dennis, how much is this inflation driven by what's happening outside the world of monetary policy? I'm thinking about the war in Ukraine and the possibility of prolonged shutdowns potentially from China as they try to rein in COVID on that side of the world. We've seen some moves that they might pull back on some of their restrictions, but doesn't that feed into the inflation we're seeing as well?
No question. There's certainly I wouldn't say abundant, but certainly there is a material impact by those outside forces. If I had to put a percentage on it, I would say 70% of the inflation that we see now is caused by monetary policy, and 30% is caused by outside influences. Those outside influences over time shall disappear. So too shall the impact of the aggressive monetary addition ease of the past decade or so. But for now, remember, inflation follows in a delay by 1 to 2 and 3 years. The fact that we've had these circumstances prevailing, the fact that we've had the monetary authorities being as aggressively easing natured as they have been for the past decade or so, that's going to be with us for a period of time going forward. So anybody who thinks we're going to get back to 2% inflation in the next year or two, I think is sorely mistaken.
Well, if we continue in this elevated inflation environment, Dennis, where do you put your money in this kind of bear market?
Not a bad place to be in cash, not a bad place to be in 2- and 5-year securities. As rates go up, you're going to get you'll lose a little bit of money on them, but the coupons that you get will offset that rather dramatically. And as I've said for years, in a bear market, he or she who loses the least will be the winner, and that's you have to keep that in mind. So I think cash and 2- to 5-year treasury securities is absolutely the place to be. I think that's that makes eminent sense for the next several years. So I hate to say that, it's not fun. It's much more fun being bullish. Being bullish on stocks is always a much more enjoyable circumstance. The ladies are prettier, the music is better, the champagne is cold. Yeah. And in bear markets, the dresses become a little tattered and the champagne turns damp, turns neutral and less than enthusiastic. So it's a bear market. Sell into the rallies. Don't buy the dips.
Why do you think gold hasn't reacted as much as an inflation hedge as it has in the past? We're looking at gold right now at around an 1800 handle.
I'm a little surprised by that, to be quite honest. I would have thought gold would be closer to $2,000 an ounce rather than $1,800, but perhaps at the margin you've got the gold competing with Bitcoin and et al. And the other rest of the crypto universe. I think some of the money that would have gone into the gold market has gone over there. Eventually, with the crypto, I think, under real pressure, and I think going to be maintained under pressure, and I think Bitcoin goes a lot lower than where it is right now. At the margin, probably will move into gold. But I will have to admit, I am somewhat surprised that gold is trading at 1840 instead of 2040.
In our last minute here, Dennis, of course, Chairman Powell is going to be appearing on Capitol Hill tomorrow and the next day. What are you going to be listening for from the chairman? Do you think his remarks will have any impact on markets?
I think the market has already understood what the chairman has said. His press conference and his press releases last week tell us what he's going to talk about. He'll talk about the fact that the Fed probably will tighten monetary policy a bit for the next 2 or 3 or 4 FOMC meetings. He can expect he'll talk about the fact that 75 basis points is probably a given in the July FOMC meeting, and maybe some reduction from there on. But he'll be talking about the fact that their intention is to get 2% inflation. Whether the market believes it or not is another story for another time.
As always, Dennis, great to get your insights. Thanks for being with us. Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. This morning, futures are moving higher after the rout from last week. We have S&P futures up 65 points, Dow futures up 479, NASDAQ futures higher by 206 points. 10-year Treasury right now is down 11/32. The yield 3.26, almost 3.27%. Yield on the 2-year is 3.20%. NYMEX crude up 2.1% to $111.85 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed, down $1.20, $1,839.40. For an ounce of gold. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.